You're listening to Illinois Public Media, 90.9 WYLL, FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana. It's going to be a mostly sunny afternoon, breezy and unseasonably warm with near record highs around 92 degrees. Tonight becoming mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely after midnight. The low tonight around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then mostly sunny in the afternoon. Not quite as warm, not nearly as warm, with high around 78 tomorrow. And Saturday, sunny with a high around 75 degrees. So looks pretty good weather for the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which starts this evening. And on today's Live and Local, we're going to be hearing another of the performers at the festival, Kevin Elliott, singer and songwriter from this area, and he's in the studio going to do us some tunes. And then the second part of the show is an interview about an independent film about love, family, and ballroom dance filmed in Champaign-Urbana last May and June, meaning May and June of 2009, and it took then quite a while, of course, as it always does, to turn the filming into a film, and that movie's been making the touring the festival circuit quite successfully, and will air for the first time in Champaign this weekend. And we'll give you times and details and hear from the filmmakers and some of the music. From Leading Ladies, it's all on Live and Local today. Currently 88 degrees at a minute past 12. That was music from that is used in the film Leading Ladies, which we're going to be talking about later on in the program. Gives you a good idea of the dance, the ballroom dance nature of it, which is a really good part of the point of that movie. We'll have interviews interview with two of the filmmakers in the second part of today's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and with me in the studio right now is a guy who I first got to know, sort of, in my living room because he hosts a radio show, which happens to be, as I already told him, my own favorite show on WEFT in downtown Champaign. And it's called From the Joshua Tree Inn. His name is Kevin Elliott. I also happen to know he's a psychologist in the area, and I only recently learned that he's actually a singer-songwriter. And it's in that latter capacity that he is on going to be performing at the second annual Champaign Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. It starts tonight at 6 o'clock with a singer-songwriter named David Llewellyn, originally from Wales, now in Nashville. He's going to be at the Heartland Gallery tonight at 6, and that this evening continues till about 10:30, and then there's lots more music Friday evening and an enormous amount of music and a number of workshops and all kinds of activities going on Saturday afternoon and evening, all of it in and around downtown Urbana. And Kevin, when are you going to be at the festival? I know I marked it on my schedule here somewhere, but why don't you let us know?
It's Saturday afternoon, and thank you for the compliments, by the way. I love the fact you tune into my show. I certainly have fun with it, so
yeah,
that's really cool. I'm going to get to play as part of the singer-songwriter showcase on Saturday afternoon at 3, from 3 to 5 at Das Café in downtown Urbana, and that's along with Mike Meadows and Kelly Durley.
Kelly Durley, yeah. Well, and for those who don't know what Das Café is, I did not. If you know where La Gourmandise was, it's exactly the same place.
It's the same place. And in fact, when I originally found out I was playing, I was going to be playing at La Gourmandise and then discovered that the name changed. So.
Yeah. Well, I had to ask about it. What is this place? And Das Café actually makes more sense because the folks who run it, I believe, are German, and they specialize in German food, at least in the evening. And I'm sure they'll be happy if you get some food while you're listening to Kevin Elliott and his colleagues. How long have you been doing the singer-songwriter thing?
You know, I've been playing guitar and writing songs for quite a long time, for maybe 35 years. But I only recently started kind of taking it public, and have been performing and actually recording the last 4 years. And, you know, still play rather sparingly around the community, but enough to have some fun and to, entertain a few friends here and there.
So how do you think the organizers of the Folk and Roots Festival decided to ask you to be part of it? Any idea?
Oh, I sort of, I guess I kind of kissed up to Ed Hawks. No, not really. I actually enjoy the music he brings to town in the genre that I play on my radio show. He brings some really good kind of folk and singer-songwriter artists to town to play at the IMC. And so we developed an acquaintanceship, and I let him know that I played music. So he invited me to be on his Listen Up Illinois TV program on Urbana Public TV. And that was a lot of fun. That was back in March. And then he just emailed me a few months ago and asked if I wanted to be part of this, which I'm delighted to be a part of. I think it's a great resource and great service to the community that they're doing this. I have people who send me music to my radio show who've contacted me from all over the country about this festival. So anyway, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's cool that you're able to be here, and I want to ask you a little bit about your radio show, but before we do that, why don't we have a song from you and give us whatever introduction to it you like.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll play the way I introduce this song when I play it is I usually say, I'm not going to say anything about this song. So I'll go ahead and play this song here and then talk about it afterwards if you want. Something about you of a subtle kind, not easily read by a sober mind. But one thing ain't hard to find. This probably ain't the right thing to say, but you're the prettiest girl in AA. Hey, hey. My life has been nothing but one big regret. I lost all those women, all the friends I met. Can I bum a cigarette? This really ain't the right thing to say, but you're the prettiest girl in AA. Hey, hey, oh yeah. What would you tell me if I said I love you? You'd tell me you're a friend of Bill W. Can't give your number to just any slob. I ain't just any slob. I just got a job. I just got a job. Tell me if I said I love you. You tell me you're a friend of Bill W. Can't give your number to just any slob. I ain't just any slob. 'Cause I just got a job. I got a job, baby. I got a part-time job. Talk about alcohol. Sometimes I feel kind of blue. It's got something to do with you. I know this ain't the right thing to say, but you're the prettiest girl in AA. I know this ain't the right thing to say. You're the prettiest girl in AA. The prettiest girl in AA. I know this ain't the right thing to say. The prettiest girl in AA. Hey, hey, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Deadpan. Seems to be this, the name of the humor behind that song. How much does that song, of course, without revealing any specifics or names, or any of your other songs, come out of your work as a psychologist?
You know, there is quite an overlap, I think, because it's, in a way, at least the kind of music I like and the kind of music I try to write is, you know, there's some authenticity to it that people can kind of apply to themselves or at least relate to somewhat. So I like to leave some openings in the music that way for people to interject themselves. And in my work as a therapist, certainly that's all about kind of being genuine and authentic and telling stories and, you know, conveying emotion. And so I do kind of like have some boundaries as far as like, you know, keeping parts of my life distinct from one another, but there is definitely some overlap.
I imagine, I mean, we talk about boundaries that one has to observe in relationships with people, and you talk about boundaries for yourself, you know, maybe compartmentalizing your roles in your own life. I feel like I have to do that lots of times or try to, but I know I've got overlap. And I mean, how much can you really compartmentalize?
Well, it's challenging because we live in a very rich community, but relatively small community. So I end up having, you know, dual relationships with people, whether I want to or not. Even if it's just sort of knowing people because they're regulars in my neighborhood, like you and I notice we pass each other riding our bicycles down Washington Street. And so, I mean, there's a lot of, a lot of overlap in general in this community. So it's kind of difficult and probably unrealistic to expect there to be none of that. But I've learned to, you know, control, I guess, what aspects of it that I can. I've sometimes felt some added stress from not being clear about, you know, what role I'm in at any particular time or what hat I'm wearing. And so, you know, I just try to be careful about it and gotten fairly, I guess, good enough at it that I'm comfortable. Hopefully everybody else is too.
Do you ever use music as a therapist?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, some really kind of profound moments in my experience have been when clients I've worked with have experienced kind of an opening of communication for themselves when I've suggested we put something to music or we utilize music. Or they've heard me play music and they've wanted to do the same. And so, yeah, I've experienced that quite a bit. I've had people here at a group session when I used to work at a local psychiatric hospital, a group session, a young adolescent girl had written a poem, and I said, let's make a song out of it. And we did that, and she was just so happy about that and expressive about that. And it was really kind of good for her feelings about herself. And then immediately another kid in the group asked to be excused, went down to his room, wrote a poem really quick, and said, I have a song too. And that was pretty neat. And I work with a lot of developmentally disabled adults, and we utilize music a lot. And I work with a lot of kids. We use a lot of music. And sometimes things come out in music that don't come out other ways. And so,
and is it usually music that you play and or that they create, or sometimes music that other people have created, such as, for example, what you play on your show?
Mostly it's stuff we create. And what I try to provide is, like, you know, since I can make up melodies and play stuff on the guitar, I usually just try to provide that. But if the client can play guitar or something, then certainly they can run the whole show, you know. But usually I just try to sort of provide a way to translate, you know, the words or the emotion of the client into this other form of expression. And so usually it's stuff we make up.
Well, I know I've sometimes thought, listening to your radio program, that, if I'm in the market for a psychologist, I think I might want to look this guy up because I really like his presentation. And I like the music that you choose, and I'm thinking he's got to have something going on for him.
Oh, well, thank you. I have actually had people contact me at my my counseling business because they've heard my radio show or gone to my music website, and that's a really great overlap there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that my show has that kind of vibe to it. That's kind of what I'm aiming for. So,
well, it's also one of the more professional sounding shows on WFT.
Well, yeah, you got to love it, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of part of the charm of community radio.
That's right.
Homemade.
Well, there's professional because somebody really works hard at it, and there's not professional sounding simply because folks are amateur. And the ones that irk me are the ones who are not professional sounding because they do it on purpose, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that just drives me up a tree. But
right,
we won't go
right
too far
yeah,
down that road.
That's for another day, I suppose. Yeah.
I'll start naming names if I get rolling too far. Well, this is Live and Local, and I hope that we sound reasonably professional most of the time instead of the couple of bits of dead air that I let go today, which I'm not supposed to do. WILO's programs are made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign, also offering a variety of tea and chai, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m., and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. We invite you also to help this radio service and this public media service. I mean, we call ourselves now Illinois Public Media, not just WYL FM, AM, and TV. But nonetheless, this is certainly a program that I think you've probably come to rely on, as you have to our new news programs on the FM station. And we would like your help in building a member match fund to help drive our upcoming pledge drive, which is going to happen next month. Your gift now of $25, $75, $50, $125 or more to the fund will both add excitement and value to that upcoming drive and also help us to keep it short, which everybody will be grateful for. You can mail your check to WYLL Radio, 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, Illinois, zip 61801, or is very quick to just give online at willpledge.org. Kevin Elliott's on the show. He's going to be playing on Saturday afternoon at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival at the restaurant in downtown on Main Street called downtown Urbana called Das Café, formerly La Gourmandise, from 3 to 5, part of a singer-songwriter showcase. And he's got another singer-songwriter-ish tune for us right now.
Here we go. Well, this is a bit of social commentary. My songs tend to be suggestive, kind of like what I, for the reasons I voiced earlier, kind of leaving room for people to interject their own experience into. So I'll just leave it at that. This is one called The Kingpin. I guess I will say it's sort of, I wrote it in the fall of 2008. So that's a bit of suggestiveness, but... Now that the kingpin's come and gone, looking down the road, which way was wrong? All the stories he told served your supper cold, trampled all your marigolds. He'll never confess he ever made that mess. Tracking his mud, I guess he couldn't care less. But he smiled as he said, God bless. So Lord, help us along now that the kingpin's come and gone. Come and gone. Now that the kingpin's passed on through, looking down the road, what you gonna do? Knew it from the start, upset your apple cart, oh, your broken heart. He wiped his boots on your Sunday suit, didn't give a damn what you constitute. Lost your loot, watch out, he'll execute. Only now he's through, it's time for the switcheroo. Switcheroo. Light a cigar, lighten your load, warm up the car and shovel the road. Strum your guitar and dance until dawn, and stay right where you are, cause the kingpin's come and gone. Come and gone. Now that the kingpin's come and gone, looking down the road, which way was wrong? Which way was wrong? We was wrong.
And that song must be called The Kingpin or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. I thought about The Kingpin might be suggestive name.
Kevin Elliott here on Live and Local. I wanted to mention before we hear another song from you that some of the venues that are participating in the CU Folk and Roots Festival, which you're a part of on Saturday afternoon, the Independent Media Center hosting lots of performers, Heartland Gallery, the Iron Post, of course, Phillips Center, the Rose Bowl Tavern, Silver Creek Restaurant, and V. Picasso. There's going to be a lot of outdoor places throughout downtown Urbana. Corson Music Store, actually hosting at least one music shop, the music workshop, the Community Center for the Arts. Let's see, have I missed anybody? I think that about covers it. 88 Broadway. There's some things there. And, of course, the big main stage. And I'm not even sure where it's located. You can find out all these things, who's going to be at what stage when, by going to their website. It's cufolkandroots.org. And you can participate in everything for a mere $15. You could give you a wristband, and you can wear it all weekend long and get into anything you want, which is really the bargain of all bargains. Kevin, just really quick, because the time is just about gone already.
Man, it flies.
Yeah, it does fly. And I do want to air this other interview about this film that I've been hanging on to for a year. And now that it's actually going to be shown this weekend in Champaign, I better let people know about it. But your radio show on WFT is Tuesday night from 6 to 8?
That's correct, yep. It's 90.1.
90.1 FM, and I usually remember it somewhere around 7:20.
Ah.
You know, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this is the time." But you call it from the Joshua Tree Inn,
mm-hmm.
and I actually looked up the Joshua Tree Inn once because I had no idea what that was. What is it? I've actually forgotten already.
Well, honestly, I inherited that name from Jay Rosenstein. Jay did that program for 9 years before I did it. Then I've done it for 15 years, so it's a really long-term WEFT program. And Jay named it as kind of a tribute to Graham Parsons, because Graham Parsons, I think he died in Joshua Tree, California, and maybe his ashes were scattered there. I don't know the whole story, but there is, in fact, a Joshua Tree Inn out there. And one musician who lives out there is Victoria Williams, and she's kind of a quirky, folky, indie rock type person. And she actually emailed me once and said, "You know, I just walked down to the Joshua Tree Inn, and they've never heard of you. What gives?" You know. but anyway, I just kept the name because it has that that kind of history with Jay, and it's got a nice ring to it. So.
Well, yeah, and it took me about 2 years to get around to looking that up, because I always just actually it took me a while to make sure I was understanding that. What exactly what you said.
Oh, I have to enunciate.
Well, no, I was just thinking Joshua Tree Inn, what could that possibly be? But in any event, well, I enjoy it. It's kind of folk music, singer-songwriter-ish, some sort of country music. It's really hard to classify.
Yeah, I definitely try to push the boundaries a little bit. I kind of joke that it has a lot of hyphens. It's folk this and folk that and jazz and blues and rock and country, bluegrass and... But anyway, I sort of choose the stuff by how they resonate with me, and it's in some ways kind of intuitive, kind of emotional, and not a lot of logic. There's not a lot of themes that I go by or anything like that. Just kind of how I feel that things fit together, and have a lot of fun with it. And I'm glad people like yourself tune in at 7:20. I'll have to start having a Kevin Kelly set around 7:20.
Depends what, you never know what's going on. You know, whenever I'm near the radio or don't have something else happening. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And I'll let you take us out with another song. I'm going to actually, while you're singing, jump into our other studio so I can churn up the next interview. So please don't be offended. I'll come back and say goodbye. But we'll be talking about Leading Ladies in just a little bit. But what do you want to take us out with?
I'm going to play sort of my version of a love song. My wife told me a couple of years ago, like, you know, Kevin, you've written all these songs, but you haven't written any for me. What gives, you know? And so I decided I should get busy and do that, and this is one of those.
Kevin Elliott on Live and Local.
There's a certain way you look when you aren't careful. At the same time, it's so reckless and so mild. Before you are aware, your eyes reveal you, needy and determined as a child. Innocent but running loose and wild. And I know your love is pure as any river. I know your heart is open and it's true. Everything you promise you deliver. Simple grace in all the things you do. I'll never meet another one like you. You You say that you make good on your selections. You tell me that you'll take me anywhere. You know me, all you seem to see right through me. No games to play, no camouflage to wear. So much to give, so much you have to share. All you see things as they are, you feel so deeply. Never holding back your laughter or your tears. Strong enough to handle what life deals you on your own. Faith that never wanes or disappears. Filling days with bright bouquets and souvenirs. Simple grace in all the things you do. I'll never meet another one like you. Can't say how much I really love you. It's a feeling too fragile to express. I never told you what a joy it is to hold you. You're so beautiful to me, I confess. I've been afraid I couldn't say these words, I guess. And I know your love is pure as any river. I know your heart is open and it's true. Everything you promise you deliver. Simple grace in all the things you do. I'll never meet another one like you. No, I'll never meet another one like you.
Kevin Elliott, live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. Leading Ladies is a film written, created, and filmed in Champaign, Illinois. And it is going to be to have its first area screening this weekend at the King's Head Film Festival, which just has that film and one other, which we showcased on this program last week. And I'll give you times later on. But just as an example, it's been winning chosen as official selections at a number of international and national film festivals. Winner of the Showcase Award at the Sonoma International Film Festival. Official selection for the Denver Film Festival, the St. Louis International Film Festival, the Outfest Film Festival, and selected Best of the Fest at New Fest 2010. They wrapped up filming in Champaign last summer, and that's when I did an interview with co-writer Erica Randall Beam, along with Jennifer Bechtel, who's her co-writer, and also producer and co-director, Erica's husband, Daniel Beam. And so I'm going to air some of that interview that was done last year, starting right now on Live and Local. I was amused when I first read on your website for Leading Ladies, in your own little biographical blurb, where you say you met Jennifer Bechtel in 2004, where upon meeting, they instantly began to write Leading Ladies, which conjured up a really wonderful image for me that see each other,
yep,
start writing.
We did.
How close is that to what really happened?
It's really accurate in so many ways. And Jen and I love to tell the story because the start of our friendship was the start of the film. And almost instantaneously, both things occurred. It was her birthday, 2004. I walked into her store, Hot Diggity, that she had. And she walked up to me and said, "It's my birthday and all my friends get 10% off. Do you want to be my friend?" And I said, "Yeah, I want to be your friend." I had just moved to town as a new professor. And probably the third line was, "Do you know anything about lesbian ballroom dance?" And I said, "Well, actually, I do. I lived in Seattle for a long time, and it's different than ballroom dance, but swing dance was a big trend in the early 90s in Seattle. And there's a wonderful ballroom and swing club called the Century Ballroom, where straight, gay, same-sex, opposite-sex couples would come together to dance. And it was one of the most popular places in Seattle, and I used to go dance there." And I said, "Yeah, I've got a little background in that." And she said, "I want to write a movie about it. Do you want to write it with me?" And that was it. And I said, "Yeah." And then we went to Allerton Park, and we hiked for about 4.5 hours, and we wrote the entire meta-narrative of the film. And started then on Mondays to write every Monday for a couple of hours. And we did the outline and then would go scene by scene. So our friendship was born of this idea and vice versa.
So it really was friends at first sight.
No, complete and total. And one of the other funny lines was that, you know, we both married a Dan. I have my Dan Beam and
she has her
Dan Bechtel. And we were meant to come together to tell the story, and our two voices coming to form this family has been one of the most thrilling things in my life. It's been really a treat.
So tell me about lesbian ballroom dance. I didn't know this was a genre.
Well, it is actually. It's becoming more popular. I think that Leading Ladies has a lot of themes in it, mostly about gender stereotypes and the roles that we take on in our lives, whether we take the lead or the follow, how they're codified in society and often gender-based. And gay and lesbian swing dance, social dance looks to offset those. The film is not so much about, you know, sex or sexual preference as it is about the fact that we're all humans and we all take on different roles in our lives. And how do we assume these roles and how do we change them? In gay and lesbian ballroom dance, there are competitions for it that Jen had done some research on. Swing dance, what's always interesting is you don't say the man or the woman, you say lead and follow. And gender kind of goes out the window. And that's what attracted both of us to the subject, was the idea that gender goes out the window. And that applies to straight couples, gay couples, everyone. How do we transform the way we see gender and don't get stuck in the muck of archaic stereotypes?
So what did Jen indicate how she got interested in this in the first place? It seems like an odd thing to just suddenly become interested in unless you're a lesbian or gay ballroom dancer.
Now, I think for Jen, she's always done... here's where it came. This is where the idea came to Jen, is that she was hosting a lot of the GLBT stuff for the teens, and she wanted to show a PG-13 movie that dealt with gay and lesbian issues and bisexual issues, and there aren't any. And that void got her thinking. And it got both of us then committed to the thought of making a film that has straight and gay characters that aren't living inside of stereotypical roles, that could exist in a film that's a family-based dance movie that's PG-13. And I think her desire to always do outreach to support different communities just instantly melded with mine. And from there, we got this goal to make a PG-13 film. And as a dancer, that was really exciting to me to bring the dance side to it. And I think for both of us as open-minded humans, we just felt like it was our charge to create a piece that was funny and loving and shows families and all their mess and deals with straight and gay issues on a PG-13 level in a 2009 kind of dance family dramedy. So that's how it got rolling.
That's a wonderful description. How did you get into writing? I mean, if you don't usually think of dancers and writers in the same, you know, in the same body.
Well, I think my husband has always supported my writing. I'm a journaler. I would write all the time. I have ideas. My dances are very narrative. And had always seen myself writing. Jen had written before as a director for theater, for kids, and she'd done her own musical theater plays and songs, and it just felt like the right time to jump into a more formal way of expressing myself in narrative through writing. Dance, I usually deal with nonlinear narratives, but still a narrative form. But I'm also a writer who does a lot of work in more feminist research in my own scholarly work. And this guy's my editor, and he's a great editor and has been in deep support of me developing my voice as a writer, as I now have about 5 different screenplay ideas under my belt and another first draft and another treatment done. And he cleans them up, so it's pretty good. Pretty good relationship.
Is this the first one?
Then? This is the first, yeah. This is the first and has been received beautifully. So it feels like I touched on something that now is going to become part of my life's path.
Why don't we hear, generally, what is the story of Leading Ladies?
We like to say that it's a story of an overbearing backstage ballroom dance mother who has 2 daughters who are both making choices in their lives where she has to learn to cut the apron strings and let them go off on their own and let love lead. I think that's the generic storyline without giving too much of the plot away. But really, it's this one fabulous mother who had to cut short her dance career, who has 2 daughters she raises on her own. One gets pregnant, one falls in love with a woman, and mom has to see how complicated life, love, sex, dance, and the mess of family can be. And they both daughters really learn to come into their own, and mom has to do the same. I would say, the overarching story.
That sounds better than the generic storyline.
Yeah.
I'm much more inclined to go see the movie, with that one.
Well, and that's, I think, for us, we want to keep, it's an ugly duckling story where our ugly duckling doesn't turn into a swan, but in the end, she turns into a penguin. And that's kind of the big top secret storyline that develops, that she learns. Tony is her name, our lead, played by Laurel Vail, who's a brilliant young actor. Tony learns how to take charge of her own life and step into the lead role where she's always been in the shadows.
Distinguish a swan from a penguin.
Usually in typical Hollywood narratives, the ugly woman in the ponytail and the glasses and the bad skin turns into the beautiful princess in a puffy dress with her hair down and flowing and contacts and this kind of classical beauty. And our ugly duckling cuts her hair short, puts on a tuxedo, and takes the lead in what would typically be considered the man's dress and dances with her female partner. So she literally goes into a penguin suit, into a tuxedo.
So it's not just the dance metaphor carries through the story.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing for us with dance in this film, is that it's less about dance moves and more about the dance of life and how we see dance in everyday life. And that's something for me as a dancer I teach and I honor. And in this film, with the help of my husband, co-director, we got to really bring to the screen.
Vamos por un camino añejo somos almas que lleva el tiempo sombras cargando su pasado siembra de los que no han estado pasará. Pasará, deja que te susurre el viento, viaja sin pena ni lamento. Todo lo que creí perdido labra las huellas del destino. Pasará, pasará, pasa manos, pasa tiempo, pasa paso yo, pasa el sueño y la vigilia, pasa el tiempo del perdón, pasan padres, pasan vidas, pasa el día.
Song called Pasos by Malena Muyala from Montevideo, Uruguay, which was used in the film Leading Ladies, being shown at the Art Theater in Champaign this weekend, and we'll continue our interview with filmmakers Erica and Dan Beam here on Live and Local. So, Dan, do you have any idea right now if you were asked to do the trailer for this film, what would be some of the scenes in it? What are the scenes that, if you just really felt like doing a trailer for you, would show up in it?
Well, there are some... the locations that we got are spectacular. And most of the most fantastic ones are in a building that is owned by two guys here in town named Bill and Ernie, and it's the old Rialto Theater in downtown Champaign. And in addition to the theater that's there, they also there's some stuff connected to it. There's a ballroom that we used as the dance studio for the Campari family, and it is this just beautiful space. The light that streams in through the windows, the solid oak floors, the paint that's peeling off the walls. I mean, it's just it's an art piece in and of itself. So that is definitely, you know, some of the visuals that I would use. When we got here to town, we started showing our cinematographer, Pete Biaggi.
Genius. He's a genius.
The locations that we had. And, you know, he was coming in to work on this little rinky-dink independent feature. And we started showing him these locations. And he every time we walked into a new place, he just kept going, what the? You know, just I think we really wowed him with the level of spectacular that we had found here in this little tiny, you know, Champaign Urbana. So these locations are really wow locations.
They're the riches of the film beyond our actors. The locations are like other characters. And having lived in Champaign, getting to show this jewel of a town to the world through these magical locations is going to be exciting. In terms of the trailer, I think what they will do for us and why I think he has a hard time choosing is because they're so exquisitely beautiful, and they definitely make it look like a much bigger budget film and a much bigger project because of the generosity of the people who led us into these spaces. And then
and the looks of these places,
the looks are stunning,
elevate the level of, you know, what you would expect from an independent film. I mean, it really looks like we spent $1 million on the theater that we film in, which is the Rialto. And this is a space that kind of hasn't been used for the past 20 or 30 years. I mean, they used to show John Wayne films in there. People that we talked to, they're like, oh, yeah, I think my dad used to go watch John Wayne at that theater. And we've seen some cool pictures of, you know, guys in trench coats and fedoras lined up out front with, you know, old movies listed on the marquee and things like that. But it's been it kind of fell into disrepair. And then these two guys, Ernie and Bill, got a hold of it, and they have been lovingly restoring it inch by inch just by themselves. And they've pretty much finished the theater part itself, redone all the drywall, and they preserved one of the coolest things about it that I love is they preserved the back wall of the theater. There's a stage where the screen would have gone, and then behind that is, like, you know, the exterior wall of the theater. It's this big giant brick wall, but instead of making it look new, they kind of just shellacked the whole thing, so it's really preserved the weathered look, the oldness of the theater, and it's gorgeous. And so that's probably my favorite thing that we shot.
So the
duet, back wall of that theater,
and the duet that we shot, Benji Schwimmer and Jordan Frisbee do this incredible duet to a Dan Beam song. So I think that would make it into the first cut of
the
trailer.
And so there are what characters?
Benji Schwimmer, who was the season 2 winner of So You Think You Can Dance and a pretty well-known personality in public life, he plays Cedric Michaels, who is the stable man of this film. He is the ballroom dance partner, the best friend, and...
she says the stable man. He's pretty much the only man in this film, which kind of drove our cinematographer nuts. Every time he'd turn around, he'd be going, why aren't there any men in this film? Why aren't there any men?
Yeah, it's because it's called Leading Ladies, because there's a paucity of strong female characters in Hollywood films, and we wanted to provide some meaty roles. And Cedric is a character who just happens to be gay, but is the leading man, and we really wanted to write a character who just... he's not a caricature of what people often think of as a gay man, and he's the stable guy, and that Jen and I both have so many good friends who are gay men who fulfill these roles of stability and quote-unquote normalcy that, you know, is not so hard to believe, we hope, in 2009. And so Cedric, played by Benji, is that character who is delightful and smart and funny and a fantastic dancer. And Guy, who is played by Jordan Frisbee, is his boyfriend and dance partner. And this is a scene that happens at the Underground Swing Club where they meet and they are the queens of the club. And where Cedric leads in competition life, he follows in his relationship life, as is shown by his follow status in the dance that he does with his boyfriend. And his fluidity between roles, lead and follow, is a metaphor for many of the other characters and what we hope the audience will find about being able to take on different roles in your life and different relationships. And he's a lovely character for his ability to be fluid in that space. And they do this incredible duet. They are stunning West Coast swing dancers. And
it's really exciting, the level of performers that we've gotten on this, you know, what started out as a little film. I mean, the duet between Benji and Jordan, we're talking about Benji Schwimmer, season 2 winner of So You Think You Can Dance, and Jordan Frisbee, 6-time West Coast Swing World Champion, you know, doing this performance in our little film. And I mean, you look at it and it really knocks you out. We're doing this little tiny film and it's like, holy cow, look at that performance on this on the screen.
So how did you get these people?
Melanie LaPatton.
Who is
our mom in the movie. She plays Cherie, the overbearing backstage ballroom dance mother who you just... She will be quoted for all of time now. This woman has some of the best lines. She is... The character's great, but Melanie is this character. She's kind of a redhead, fiery, Bette Midler-esque Latin ballroom world champion who choreographs on So You Think You Can Dance, who I had spotted on So You Think You Can Dance. Jen had spotted on What Not to Wear. And Jen, not being intimidated by her as a dancer, just called her up. And then I spoke with her and sent her the script a year ago. And I was in love with her because she's a stunner. And she read the script and said yes. And she was the first person we cast. And from there, she was then able to bring Benji on board and four other So You Think You Can Dance super divas who performed at Jerry's IGA over on Mattis, because they all love Melanie. And she's choreographed for things like Shall We Dance and the Thomas Crown Affair. This was her first time acting. And she's spectacular. And she's a love. She's just... She looks like she should be a diva, but she's a gentle kitty.
She came to set and everybody was kind of like, oh my gosh, this woman is going to be a handful. And by, you know, day 8, she's running around with tears in her eyes going, I'm surrounded by love. I love everyone. And we're just cracking up. Everybody was really disarmed at that point. And she really became, you know, kind of the mother figure of, you know, not only the film, but the crew and the cast and the set. And everybody was just, you know, hugging Melanie all the time.
Yeah, she loves the project and she's just devoted and is a friend for life. And then we did a lot of other auditions in New York, Chicago, LA, and locally. And one of our other leads is played actually by a University of Illinois grad, Shannon Smith, who was my student when I taught here. And she plays Tossie, the ballroom competing daughter who gets pregnant, who is a triple threat in the film and in real life. She tours off Broadway and she's been in Grease and Cats and multiple productions and is phenomenal. First time behind a camera or in front of a camera, and she's just a natural. She's a star. The other two women, Laurel Vale and Nicole Dion, we found in L.A. They read together and we were both in tears, and we knew we'd found our Tony and our Mona, who play girlfriends in the film. And Mona is a new dancer, and she comes to this ballroom dance world and she's hilarious and a great character. And really, these two women were just phenomenal together. They just inspire love. They're just great, great people.
She says that Mona's a new dancer, but Mona's been dancing. Well, Nikki has been dancing for quite a while, I think. But Tony,
Nikki plays Mona, but Tony's
Laurel,
played by Laurel.
Who plays Tony, had no dance experience whatsoever.
And we almost didn't cast her because of it.
It was a little nerve-wracking. We're like, can we, like, because her acting is phenomenal. I mean, we saw her and it was like, this is the one. This is absolutely the one. And then we're like, oh, but she can't dance. What do we do about that? And so we spoke to her about it. And she is a champ, because from the moment we cast her until she arrived in Champaign, she took classes every single day. She danced every day for 6 weeks before coming out here. And when she arrived, it was a little jaw-dropping. We were just like, oh my gosh, she can dance now.
And then Melanie kicked her butt every day while we were in rehearsal here. She had to do a tango and a swing piece. And then learned the toothbrush tango, which is a pedestrian dance where she and her sister have their nightly routine to tango music. That the tango music is only heard by the audience, but as they move through life, everything they do is a dance. And that's where music becomes really important to this film, that we here at Team Leading Ladies see life as a dance with a soundtrack behind everything if you just look close enough. And that's what we feel makes this film really exciting and specific in particular, is that love of dance, even in every day.
How about the role of music in this film? It's got to be, if you're going to do dance, there's got to be music. And if you're going to do a ballroom, you're going to have tango and you can have swing and you can have all kinds of other things.
Yeah. It's been interesting because a lot of the stuff that we've shot, you know, we're dancing to it or we're moving to it. And so we have playback on set, which is actually playing the music so that we can move to it. And the sound guys are like, well, do you have the playback music? I mean, do you have what's going to be in the movie? And the answer was usually, no, we don't have that yet. So we would just have to...
Because you were going
to
write it.
Right, because I haven't written it yet. And so we'd just pick a song that was good for tempo, and then they would play that, and we'd have to figure out how to show people dancing to it. And if there's dialogue, you have to cut the music, and you have to keep dancing to the music that's in your head. And then I will go back and just use the tempo of whatever song we were using for playback and write something to it. Sometime in the future, hopefully in the very near future, as I need to get it finished before the Sundance deadline. But
one of the best things about doing a film that has dance in it and doing a film that has music as a crucial part is that energetically, we were very alive on set. Things would turn into dance parties. Here you are watching people dance and their speakers hooked up, and then all of a sudden James Brown is playing at Jerry's IGA in the middle of the night, and there's a crew dance party in aisle 5. You know, it just... Music set the tone to keep a lightness and a sense of joy about the project. So even when we were exhausted, there was dance and music happening. And that inspires people and it enlivens them. And the fact that after we'd shot, you know, these days that would go on and on, 12 hours and then working for 20, we'd go back to the sound guy's room and put more music on and dance until the sun came up. And this was a cast and crew that worked hard together, but that played together, and we did it through dancing. And I think the soundtrack, almost all of our leads, well, I'd say two of our leads predominantly, Nicole Dion in particular, she gets into character through music. She would have her headphones on before she'd, up until the last moment before she'd go into her scene. So I think that there's a strong internal soundtrack for the film as well, music that people use to get into character and to stay inspired or to get excited. Every night when I came home, or every morning if we were shooting at night, I would listen to the song that's going to be the end credit song, and I'd listen to it 3 to 6 times as a way to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I know for me, in a personal way, music drove the process and kept me inspired.
So you've already decided the music for the end credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are key moments throughout the film that we definitely have songs that are written by, I don't know if I have one song in there right now that's like a definite, but then we have a good 5 or 6 other songs that are written by friends of ours that are like for sure things.
And Daniel will, you know, he laughs at my desire to have so many female voices on the soundtrack, but because I want to give voice to women in this film, it's also important musically. And there's a new artist, Alva Lee, who is produced by Ben Folds' producer, John Painter. And her song, which isn't done yet, but is hopefully will be done soon, will be heard first as our end credit song. And it's...
And when Erica says she listens to it 6 times a night, she puts it on repeat and literally listens to it 6 times every night.
It got me through. And the main chorus says, I don't really live here, but it feels like home. And that's how I feel about Champagne and this family of people that we have brought together to make this movie. It feels like home.
Sister, oh sister, you're dancing in my head. You're laughing like you're crazy when you should be in bed. Sister, oh sister, you guide me like the stars. You're tiptoeing through my dreams now. I know you'll never be that far. You're the one who says go on, go on, go on, go on with the show. Come on, come on, I really
Music used in the film Leading Ladies. We heard an interview actually recorded a year ago, just as after they finished the filming stage with Eric Randall Beam and Daniel Beam, who are co-directors. Daniel produced, and Erica wrote the screenplay with Jennifer Bechtel. The screenings will be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign. For more information, go to leadingladiesmovie.com, I believe. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, 90.9 WYLL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and our show is supported by the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the series collector to the first-time buyer. For more information, thecorkscrew.com.